Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. And if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. You can look for something up, something popping up there sometime tomorrow. I'll get it up there. I just don't know when it's going to happen. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I'd greatly appreciate that. We still haven't figured out why Mr. Fantasy doesn't. He seems to hate people. I'm not sure why that is. But, of course, don't forget about the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well as we are out there. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, now, you know, Dan, I realized we had some type of anniversary yesterday on Facebook. I don't know what it was or how long it's been, because it seems like we've been doing this for a very long time. Did you remember what that was?
I didn't even see that. You should have sent it to me.
I just saw, you know, it was something we did where it's Daniel John, so I don't know what the heck we put up however many years ago. But, yeah, we had some kind of anniversary yesterday, of course, being April Fool's Day. That's incredibly appropriate for Dan and I. But I don't want to dwell on that. I did want to tell you, Dan, that I'm on vacation today, so I went out a little bit in the afternoon. I just wanted to kind of get out of my palatial estate here in, Palatine, Illinois, where I live. And, I just kind of putzing around in my, my vehicle, listening to some sports talk radio. And, Dan, I want you to know how incredibly disappointed I am in you and I. Okay? There's no other way I can say it. You and I are just an incredible letdown, Dan. So there's no other way to put it. So I want you to know that.
You have to elaborate. You know.
Oh, okay. Basically, because, Dan, I listen to people who I have absolutely no idea how they got their jobs, because I don't know what they were talking about, and there's no way in hell they were better than what you and I produce an hour here every day. I was flipping through one. I heard something called Barstool Sports. I had never listened to the network before, so I don't know how long they've been on Sirius Radio. Maybe they've been on there a while. And they had a duo doing the show. Two guys and a girl were on the air. And I really couldn't figure out. I listened to about 5 minutes of their show, and I had to give up, because every sentence the girl spoke had an F-bomb in it. And I get it, it's Sirius XM, so you can kind of say whatever you want. But, you know, adding swear words into your conversations like that is generally just a show for lack of intelligence, because she wasn't upset or anything where she was flipping out. It was just F this and F that. And all I kept thinking to myself was, how the hell did you guys get a show? And, why had Dan and I stuck doing just an hour a day when we're clearly more intelligent than either any of you guys? So that was baffling. I flipped around to a couple other ones who were okay. I mean, they were no better or no worse than we were. The only guys who were actually any good were the fantasy sports guys, because you could tell they really had studied their product and they knew what the hell they were talking about. And they're like, oh, okay, well, at least these guys have done some work to – put in with their show today. But yeah, it was, I'm just incredibly disappointed that nobody has ever even given us a second look to do multiple hours and pay us for it. Cause I mean, just, it was pathetic. I just ended up turning it off. And you have a degree. Oh, Actually,
yeah,
multiple
well,
degrees.
You know, they probably got the certificate while, you know, worked each other in.
So, yeah, I figured that, or, you know, there's somebody's nephew or cousin or something like that. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it was, like I said, I was just, I kept forgetting what they were talking about because all the girl did was swear. And I was like, well, this doesn't really add a whole lot of content to what you're doing. What are we talking about? I mean, you know, obviously there's some decent sports topics out there, but then I just kind of started thinking that maybe you and I are just wasting our talent here and maybe we're not trying hard enough or something because there's got to be some idiot dumb enough to put us on the air somewhere, right?
Yeah, well, and, you know, unfortunately for us, it's not really going to happen locally because, well, you've seen how that's saturated with the same, I don't even want to talk about the talent, but the fact that we would not talk about the Bears all year round,
yeah.
Which is, we would get fired.
No, but we talk about the Cubs all year round, so.
Yeah, but, you know, it's Bears country. It doesn't. Baseball comes second.
Yeah.
So, you know, we would be better suited for a podcast because we, you know, talk about more than just one team and locally. So, you know, if you put us on Barstool, that would be awesome because if we made it, then we wouldn't have to dress up like you have to do on, you know, the main network. Although I don't really like Barstool.
Those guys who do the TV show on Stadium, the off-gram guys, who actually aren't too bad, they don't dress up. They wear jeans and polos and stuff. So maybe they should just put We Could Do TV.
Yeah, I mean,
I have a
Facebook.
What I'm
here.
Oh.
Well, I have a radio face, so I don't know how good that'll be.
But yeah, that was, it was just so weird because, you know, I figured, what the hell, I'll try this out and see what's on there, and you know, and it was just I don't know, it was kind of hard to describe. It was like, what are you guys doing? You know, and I, you know, again, like I said, the fantasy sports guys were freaking awesome. I mean, they had their breakdowns ready and everything to go, and I actually heard a guy giving advice in a 16 team league. Which, you know, you and I both know how difficult that is to find when you're looking to do these things. So it was kind of like, holy crap. You know, he's not out there telling you to go pick up, you know, some guy that was drafted in the, you know, the eighth or ninth round of your draft. So.
Yeah, well,
but yeah, that was my day. It was just kind of depressing. To come home and go back to bed. No. You know, but instead I stopped and bought a Whopper and ate that instead. No. Yeah. But all right, on to sports news, Dan. I don't know if you heard this one, but it looks like the AF is done. They have suspended operations. They made it 8 weeks into a 10-week regular season, and it looks like it is over. What happened? America just didn't have the appetite for football they thought, or, you know, I don't think you ended up watching any of it. Do you think maybe it was just the lack of, you know, named players? I mean, it didn't draw your attention, obviously, right?
I mean, it did not really. I don't. You know, they had a cool concept, but, you know, like I told you when I first saw it, they went, you know, I know there's that saying, go big or go home, but they went unnecessarily big. They, if you want to be an NFL minor league, so to speak, why don't you treat it that way? Centralize it, you know, I mean, because you can't imagine what the travel cost for everybody was, you know, for each team when you're traveling across the country, as opposed to, you know, hopping on a couple of buses, traveling around the Midwest, the Southwest, you know, somewhere in the West Coast, California, or the Northeast. The television stuff, you know, it was, I think it, if it would have been strictly on NFL Network and then strictly, you know, acted like it was minor league, they, I think they could have been more successful, but they went way too big with that. You know, I was laughing because I'm a part of a hat group. You know how me with all my New Era hat, fitted hats that is. And one guy made the comment, he goes, are these collector items now? But, I mean, even when you go down to that, you know, when it came to the logos and the design and everything, nothing really caught my eye. You know, I wasn't even willing. You know, nothing excited me about the uniforms, the logos, the teams in general, just the game. That just was like a not-so-great version of regular football, of the NFL.
Yeah, and, you know, I will give them the credit. You know, games get better. I watched week one. I watched all parts of all four of the games from week one. And, man, there was some really bad football out there. But, you know, I mean, I checked it out. I didn't watch, you know, I'd watch a quarter here or a quarter there. I don't think I would sat through an entire game. But the play did improve. You know, I'll give them that. You know, they had some really good backing. I mean, they had CBS behind it. They had the NFL Network behind it. So I'm kind of leaning to the fact that it was a bunch of guys that nobody knew, and it just didn't pique their football interest. So I don't know, you know. Well, I guess the follow-up question for that is, what does this mean for the XFL?
It's going to mean that McMahon's going to wish he didn't sell $100 million or whatever he sold of his
$270 million of stock is what he sold. So, yeah. You know, and, well, you know, I mean, one of the things that it, you know, makes me think of is I don't care what his take on it is or whatever, you better find a way to get Johnny Manziel in his league because you're going to need names that people are going to recognize or else they're not going to turn you on. They're not going to turn your league on.
But no, and I mean, you know, with Ice Cube and company, well, I don't think it has, you know, the popularity of the NBA. He was smart. You know, why create a new league that's just going to fail? Why not create a league that's kind of based on, you know, more, I don't even want to say street ball, but, you know, in the park, kind of, you know, 3-on-3, it's just a different take on the game, but it's all older players that are all recognizable. You know, and I think that's why it's already succeeded for, you know, it'll be the third season this year if they do renew it, which I think they did. So, I mean, like you said, McMahon better get some names out of you, otherwise no one's going to watch it. You know, having Jesse Ventura call a game isn't really going to do it again.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I know, yeah. You know, he did have... You know, named players in the league last time. Granted, to be fair, they, you know, they weren't exactly star players or anything like that. But it was at least, you know, you knew these guys' names. So I, you know, I think if they go that route again, he's got a possibility of, you know, of being able to have a little more success with this. But you know, the problem. You know, like the big problem I had with this league, and I don't remember if I told you or Mr. Fantasy when we were on here, you know, but I was, you know, I was watching guys who, you know, basically were practice squad players and, you know, at the best, maybe special teams contributors. And the weird part was like any time I saw them make a good play, the first question that popped into my mind was, well, could they do that against NFL-level competition? You know, I mean, obviously it's not fair for them, but that was always the first thing that popped into my head. So, you know, and I'll probably have the, you know, the same questions, but, you know, like, you know, you saw these quarterbacks, you know, there's a reason why these guys weren't in the NFL. So, you know, and that's like I was actually kind of excited to see Manziel play. I know he played a half this week or maybe it was 2 weeks ago or something like that. I was kind of waiting for him to take over so I could see him play because, you know, he's NFL caliber. You know, he just got himself in trouble in other ways. So I was interested to see how he would do. But, yeah, I mean, there was no, you know, no like, oh, hey, this guy's playing. Okay, I got to tune in to see how this guy does. You know, where there is with certain, you know, with a certain team in literally any sport, you know, you'll be like, oh, okay, well, this guy's playing. I want to see what happens. So. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. So, but now, do you think they're – this is it, right? They're not going to try to bring this back now? They're done after their eight-week test run or whatever it was?
I think so. I don't think you can really bring this back again. Just watch it fail.
Yeah, because I think because technically, you know, they have just suspended operations. You know, they're not folding or anything like that, but – I think that's just kind of the nice way to say they're out of business, right?
Yeah.
So.
They'll sell all their assets.
You know. Well, on to yeah. You know, it was another one of those days, Dan, where no matter what television network sports television network I flipped onto to see what was going on. Apparently, there is only one sports story happening today, Dan, and. That's Bryce Harper going back to Washington. That's all anybody wanted to talk about. So I will talk to you about it. I heard somebody say that if the national fans boo him today, that they're all idiots. You agree or you disagree here?
No, I completely disagree. You know, they're going to pay the tickets to go to the game, and he didn't sign there. And you know, they could boo him if they want to.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm sure his first time up, he'll get a really nice reaction, like most guys do. But yeah, I mean, if you're a fan, you know, you're going to be upset that this guy took somebody else's offer. I mean, you know, the Nationals made a pretty competitive offer. I understand that their contract had a lot of deferred money, and I actually heard a report today that said if he would have accepted their offer, he'd been getting deferred money till he was 70. But, you know, hey,
yeah.
At least he would have had income coming in. So, I can kind of understand now why he didn't take their deal. But, yeah, I didn't really understand that. I mean, you know, booing obviously is just one thing. I mean, you know, I'm not into the other stuff, you know, where the NBA has had some racial issues lately with, you know, idiot fans. You know, I'm not into that kind of thing, but yeah, if you pay your ticket, I have no problem with you booing him. And I was just kind of surprised that some people think it's wrong for Nationals fans to boo the guy.
No, and I mean, if I were he and I was there and I got booed, I would tip my hat.
Yeah.
But you know,
I think he took out an ad, or he did something where he thanked the Nationals fans today, and you know, I mean, he was real classy about it. But yeah, I think he would completely understand if they booed him. But I know, I believe he was asked that after yesterday's game, and you know, he kind of had a polite answer about it. But you know, I mean, you know, what's he gonna say? So, you know, no, they can't. They should never boo me. I'm Bryce Harper. But no, you know. So, yeah, I was just kind of confused on why it made them terrible people if they decided to boo him, and was hoping you could shed some light on it.
You know, I mean, I don't – it's their right to boo him all they want.
You know, and no surprise, it is the MLB Network game of the night. So,
yeah.
If you're looking for it and you have the MLB Network, you will be able to watch it because he will, you know, they'll get him on TV any opportunity they get. They're going to find a way to get the Phillies on TV with him on that team now. So,
yeah, but you know, like you said, I'm sure his first whatever, he walks up to the field or his first at bat, he's going to get the cheer, the polite excitement, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then if he launches a home run, he's going to get moved.
So. Well, here's my other – I want you to give me the odds on this one. Max Scherzer's pitching for the Nationals. What are the odds he, like, drills him in the arse in his first at-bat?
No, I don't really see that happen. I would say 100 to 1.
It would be cool as hell, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, if Max Scherzer –
I don't know if anybody else would, but I think it would be.
Yeah, but if well, no, I don't think Max Scherzer doing that. I think Max Scherzer wanting to strike him out more than anything.
Yeah.
But if Scherzer strikes him out on 3 or 4 pitches, you know, do we start the Tebow comparison too soon?
Well, then Scherzer gets a standing ovation coming off the field, right? If he strikes him out on 3 pitches.
Yeah. Well, no, I just, you know, it was a bad joke. You remember Tim Tebow got struck out in spring training by Max Scherzer, and everyone told you how bad he of a baseball player.
Yeah, would they say, oh, look at this, Max Scherzer blew Bryce Harper away. He's terrible. Yeah, they jumped all over Tebow for striking out on 3 pitches against a multiple-time Cy Young Award winner, so that was fantastic.
Yeah, for a guy who just started playing the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's like great. You know, like these idiots could touch anything off Max Scherzer if they had the opportunity. So, you know, hell, I don't even think I could touch anything off of Max Scherzer, and I actually played. So,
I think I could if I closed my eyes.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a chance. So, you know, I'd be lost if he got it. He got the ball anywhere close to me. I'd just be like, oh, okay, you know. I'd have that at bat that John Kruk had against Randy Johnson in the All Star game. That would be me against Scherzer. I'd be running for my life or something. So, but yeah, some of the other fun stuff I heard, Dan. Apparently, just a few games into the season, there are apparently already some managers on the hot seat, which is always humorous because, you know, we've played, you know, 4 or 5 games unless you're the, you know, the Mariners or the A's. But one of them that people think may actually be in some serious trouble is your guy Joe Maddon. You know, I mean, the Cubs have been, even though it's very early in the season, the Cubs have been a really big disappointment, you know, getting out of the gate 1-3, because I think with the exception of last night, the other couple of losses they had were games they probably should have won, but their bullpen really let them down. So I guess it's two-pronged. Dan, do you buy Madden's in trouble, and does he make it through the season?
I mean, actually, that was one of the things I was thinking about last night watching the game. Is he in trouble? You know, I mean, let's be honest. I think Theo already has who they want in mind.
Yeah, I saw him on the Mickey Mouse Network yesterday.
Sorry.
Yeah, he was in one of the games. I think he was doing the cover. So,
yeah, I missed that.
No, but yeah, I saw your guy yesterday. He did the Cubs game for the Mickey Mouse Network. He was one of the guys there. but yeah, so I don't know. Does he get through the year?
I don't think so.
You know, because yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, he's in the last year of his contract, so it wouldn't hurt if they jettisoned him. That wouldn't be as big a deal as canning a guy with, you know, multiple years left. But, you know, they do have the off day today. You know, they're not that odd scheduling. So, you know, they're off today. They come back tomorrow again in Atlanta. So yeah, I don't know. You know, like it was odd, like I was trying to think of a couple of the other guys, you know, they were saying could be in trouble. You know, and I know obviously, you know, Aaron Boone's name came up, but it, you know, it's difficult, you know, as injured as the Yankees are, can you hold that against Boone? You know, I mean, if it's not his fault that Stanton and Andujar just got hurt and that Severino got hurt in spring training, I mean, he doesn't control the injuries, unless there's something I don't know about, unless they've changed some things. But, you know, even like the Red Sox off to a slow start, you know, 1-4, it's not like they're going to turn around and dump Alex Cora after a week's worth of games. But I guess you need something to talk about. But I kind of bought the Madden talk a little more than I did some of the other garbage, mostly because, you know, he's in the last year of that deal. And, you know, let's face it, the team hasn't played that well lately under him. You know, last year the offense kind of disappeared. You know, they're off to nothing really exciting this year. Do you think maybe his, I don't know, I want to call it goofy kind of attitude has just finally worn off on the team and they're just too old to care anymore?
No, I think that, but I think those antics are gone.
You know, because, I mean, obviously, you know, there's only so many times you can bring a mariachi band into the dugout and, you know, the players think it's funny. So,
yeah, well, and I think the comments in the offseason, you know, oh, I have a book on how to coach millennials, making stupid comments like that kind of, you know, foreshadow.
So, yeah, and, you know, obviously, I mean, you know, there aren't too many guys like him left around. You know, teams are going away from those guys. You know, they're looking for younger, effectively cheaper options. You know, when it comes to managers. So I was all along. I think the only way he saves his job is if they get to the World Series. I don't believe they have to win the World Series. I believe they have to get there. You know, and the other thing, of course, I'm really disappointed, I'm sure as you are, you know, you and I both have them getting there this year. I really thought, you know, I thought all those projections were wrong and, you know, nobody knew what they were talking about. And, you know, I'm not panicking or anything like that, but I'm starting to think maybe I'm the idiot.
You and me both, you know, I actually heard that last night on my ride home. You know, someone locally who kind of was in the same boat. You know, he's like, you know, I didn't expect them to go out and win 120 games and beat Seattle's record. But he goes, I also totally did not agree with Pecota's projections and, you know, them winning only 82 games.
Yeah.
And I think part of it, too, was, you know, maybe we were just focused too much on the fact that everyone in the offseason was all Machado, Harper, Cubs need him. And I was like, no, they don't need him. Their offense is fine. But we failed to realize how bad the bullpen is.
Well, I didn't. So, you know, I knew the bullpen was bad.
Well, I mean, I knew it wasn't great, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
I told you it was going to be this bad.
Yeah, but we got Mike Montgomery, Tyler Chatwood,
yeah.
CJ Edwards.
Yeah.
And Brian, whoever that guy is, that just came over.
So we got all these guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, let's see how it goes. You know, and to be fair, with the exception of last week,
yeah.
You know, and I still honestly think, you know, when you match up the starting pitching, I still think it was the best starting pitching in the division.
They just haven't shown it yet.
Yeah. you know, I mean, again, to be fair, you know, it's only five games, so I'm not panicked about that.
Yeah.
You know, I know, you know, like I know there's people already, you know, drive you dark out on, you know, on the next flight to wherever. You know, they'd be happy to drive and get a plane, but, you know, come out at 1 point. So, you know, let's not get carried away. I'm more concerned just because, you know, you look at those names in the bullpen and it's just no track record there. You know, with the exception of Brandon Morrow, who actually can get guys out when he's healthy, the problem, of course, is he's just never healthy.
When, yeah.
So.
Well, and I don't know how much of last night's game you watched. It was pretty difficult. You know, my daughter ended up dragging me away to do something else, which, I mean, by the time it was 8-0, I wasn't really missing anything. So,
yeah, I gave up at 4-0.
You know, the thing with the errors, you got to wonder what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I've been wondering that for. I want, well, yeah, because that kind of kicks back to, well, what the hell did they just do in spring training? Didn't we work on this?
Well, not the errors so much. The fact that there was like what, six or seven of them.
Six.
Number one.
Little League game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. First of all, who the hell is Mark Zagunas or whatever?
He's Kyle's former platoon
from?
In left.
Exactly.
He's
but, okay, whatever, though. So the one thing I said since they decided to eliminate Kyle Schwarber from behind the plate, because they have Wilson Contreras and Victor Caratini, who, you know, trips over his own feet and almost knocks himself out the other day, is, you know, how is Kyle Schwarber going to learn to play the outfield when he's constantly on the bench?
Well, he doesn't have to now. They're bringing the DH in next year, so
that's not official.
Yeah.
Well, that's not official, though. You
and I know it, better. I can tell you. Just so you know, Mark Zagunas is a 26-year-old outfielder. He was the Cubs' third-round pick in 2014. He, of course, was the guy who got the job after Ian Happ couldn't handle it this year and had to go back to wherever he went back to. In five minor league seasons, he hit .276 with 40 homers and 230 RBIs. He did steal 48 bases in 5 years as well. So there you go. Yeah, he's hitting .500 in two games. What more do you want from him?
Yeah.
He's huge.
But, okay, so you bring this kid up to platoon with Kyle Schwarber. So what does that tell me, of all things, that you don't have the faith or whatever it takes to actually – you don't even believe in the guy who you brought up and said that he's going to be the guy. I know the guy who said he's going to be the next Babe Ruth is no longer with us, and it wasn't Theo or that Jason McLeod or I don't really know what Jed does except for do some public speaking every once in a while, radio spots and whatnot. But so you bring this kid down, you keep him in the team, and then – you show us how much you believe in him by not letting him ever bat against a left-handed pitcher, which seems like there's a hell of a lot more left-handed pitching than there was even, you know, 10 years ago. I don't know where these guys all came from. I never even knew that many left-handed people growing up, but neither here nor there. So now he's down to barely half the season. So number one, he can never really fulfill and learn how to play the left field position because he's on the bench, nor can he improve his ability at the plate because where is he at again? He's on the bench except for what, 12 games that he's guaranteed to DH in? And then, you know, I get it. They're ball players. They should come around and play. But, you know, on Thursday, Chris Bryant's starting in third base. On Saturday, oh, let's put him in left field. And let's let pitcher in certain position, David Bodie, start at third. You know, then that didn't really work out so great, and he looked pretty bad at third base. So now we'll put Chris Bryant back at third. I don't understand how are they ever going to get any kind of consistency with the team if everything's getting thrown around? And obviously something was happening because the mentality of that team going into the game last night was way off to be making that many silly errors. Although Bodie did have a nice little dive and, you know, underhand backwards toss to get to Javi, which that was a pretty cool play. But then again, it's like, what the hell do you have Ben Zobrist for? Shouldn't he be playing starting second base all the time now that Addison Russell's not there? I don't understand the logic in just putting a dartboard up and throwing darts at it, except for Anthony Rizzo and Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to remember Ben is pushing 40, so he needs his rest. So.
Yeah, but you know that one game he started in the outfield, he should be in at second base. And then what the hell do you have Daniel Descalzo for?
So
and that's another
the
thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, what the hell did you bring him in for if he's not going to start either? I don't understand it. And then bring in a guy to sign him for 2 years, and I'm sure you heard all the BS talk about a locker room leader or whatever the crap they're trying to spill on you. You know, I mean, David Ross, very, you know, he skated around that question really well. I don't think David Ross should be a manager. Well, no, he'd be a good manager because he'd be able to divert things and, you know, move things around on you. But I think he'd be even a better politician with that smile and being able to kind of look it over here because you can't see what I'm doing over here type of thing. But, you know, you can't tell me you're going to sign a guy for 2 years to bring him in to be a locker room leader. That's a load of crap. That is just a load of crap. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
You know, maybe they brought him in because they know this is Ben Zobrist's last year, and he's going to have to fill the void next year.
Well, I mean, that's obvious, but does that mean they're not going to continue and they're really seeking to get rid of Addison Russell before the season's end?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's still an interesting thing to see how that plays out. I don't know.
If you have Descalzo, Ben Zobrist is gone by the All-Star break because you can get something for him. That way you'll have, you know, just Addison, Descalzo, and Javi clogging up the middle. You'll have Zagunis, and then you get rid of Zobrist, and you'll be able to bring Ian Hop back up. For whatever reason. And then, you know, with David Bodie, I don't know how many options he's got left, but he can bounce around. So the next year, you know, by the end of the season, or if you're lucky by the All-Star or the trade deadline, maybe Russell will be gone too. And then you'll have just the up the middle, Descalzo and Bias for next season. I think it's screwed up that I'm even talking about next season. We're only a week into the season this year.
I think it's nice starting to sound like Stu. Maybe you and him should do the Friday show together.
Oh, my God. What the hell? What the hell just happened? I just got real grumpy. Man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be positive. I'm trying to be optimistic here. But I'm going to be optimistic on my break for a few minutes while you kind of elaborate.
Yeah, so I don't want to elaborate on that anymore. I'm going to tell you what else is going on. We did have... Three games are underway or in the process of getting underway. I can actually tell you that the Reds and the Brewers are in the second inning with no score because I'm streaming the game as we're doing the podcast here. It was Julius Chacin against Anthony DeSclafani to start there. We got the Tigers are at the Yankees. It's Jordan Zimmermann and Masahiro Tanaka starting that game. And this game should be – it was a 6:05 start, so – being that it's the Nationals' home opener, I don't know if it's rolling yet, but we got the Phillies at the Nationals, Zach Eflin and Max Scherzer are getting the start in that game. You got the Orioles at the Blue Jays, Andrew Cashner and Marcus Stroman are the starting pitchers there. The Rockies at the Rays, it's Kyle Freeland and Blake Snell getting the start there. The Mets are at the Marlins, you'll see Jason Vargas and Jose Urena as the starting pitchers there. The Astros at the Rangers, Justin Verlander against Shelby Miller on the mound there tonight. The Twins are at the Royals. Jose Berrios against Brad Keller. So there's a matchup that looks like it's going to be two really young, really good pitchers there if you're interested. We got the Red Sox at the A's. That game is actually available on the Mickey Mouse Network app if you're paying for that. You get a Chris Sale against Mike Fiers there. The Diamondbacks against the Padres. You'll see Zach Greinke and Eric Lauer get the starts there. The Giants are at the Dodgers. It's Madison Bumgarner against Hyun-Jin Ryu on the mound there tonight. And the night in the baseball wraps up with the Angels at the Mariners. Trevor Cahill and Marco Gonzalez are the starters there. We did have some more Young Players Inc. deals today. So that was pretty interesting. The Braves gave Ronald Acuna 8 years and $100 million. And as like always, like everybody loves to do, there are people complaining about this because he gave away, you know, some years of free agency and all that other stuff. But, you know, he got a big time 8-year deal at the age of 21, which means he'll be a free agent at 29. He can get another big deal. It's not like this is the only one he's going to get. So why not take this money and, you know, get it guaranteed and, you know, deal with all that BS. I've never understood why these people are such morons when it comes to, you know, guys getting these contract extensions. It's $100 million. Do you think he's going to need more money than that as his life goes on? So shut up, morons. So, and then the other one, German Marquez of the Colorado Rockies, the right-handed pitcher, he got a 5-year deal for $43 million. They're calling it a contract extension. So his deal actually has an option for a 6th season as well. So, you know, yeah, it's, you know, a couple guys in deals. I don't know if it's Marquez. Yeah. No, I believe he's got the Rockies record. Oh, he's 21 as well, so he'll hit free agent. You know, he'll be free agent 6. I believe he set the Rockies team records for strikeouts in a season last year with 230. So there you go. A couple guys inking big deals. And since Dan is back, Dan, you know, I heard it again. Acuna got 8 years and $100 million, and I had to listen to these talking heads on the air piss and moan that he gave up some years. Do these idiots really think that when you're getting $100 million that is really that important to a guy?
No.
So do they do it just to piss and moan because they're moons and they need something to cry about? Or, what, you know, I'm always baffled by that when they go into this. You know, oh, well, you know, he gave up these free agent years or these arbitration years. Yeah, maybe he would have made a little more money. He's got $100 million coming to him. What more does he need?
I mean, what is that average? What, like 12 and a half?
What, 8 years and 100 mil? Let's see. 1, 2.
Obviously.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, about 12 and a half, a little less than 12 and a half maybe.
I mean, even with – so he's only in his, what, second year? So he hasn't even hit arbitration. You know, if you were to think about it, yeah, maybe he gave up a couple of free agency years. But the peanuts he would have been paid up until his first year of arbitration, because, what, he's still – he was rookie of the year last year, so he was a rookie, obviously. I know I looked at all this earlier, you know, before the season started, but I believe he's, what, 2 or 3 years before arbitration? Maybe 2?
Yeah,
so
probably
league minimum. You know, league minimum is, what, $500,000? It's like nothing, Big Jack, $500,000. You know, it might be $600,000. So you add that up. What does he get paid? Barely $1 million for this year and next year? And then you add another $600 if he's got the third year. And with arbitration, it all depends on where you're at. And when you think about it, over the time with his arbitration, he'll probably average to be about the same. So, I mean, you know, the guys putting these deals together aren't just looking at the fact that the money now, they're looking at the money all around. You know, but that's the, you know, the biggest thing every broadcast journalist always talks about, the fact that why did I get into journalism? I wasn't good at math. And it's proven. I mean, you know, the future value of the money now, you know, it all kind of equals out. So, yeah, he may give up, but you also never know what's going to happen. So,
right.
He's getting $800 million for 8 years. He's got some security, especially,
yeah.
You know, I don't even want to bring it up, but we both know what could happen negatively to impact his career negatively.
Yeah, looking at it here, he probably would have had 2 more years of what they call pre-arbitration, where basically you're paid pretty much what the team feels you're worth, and then he probably would have had 3 or even 4 years of arbitration. So, yeah, he ate up 2 free agent years is what he ate up. Dan, I'd be 29 when the contract ends. Are you telling me he can't go out and get another 6-year deal for hundreds of millions of dollars? You know, if he's the player that people think he's going to be?
Well, not only that, I mean, wasn't Mike Trout under contract to begin with before he signed his new extension?
I'm trying to remember if he was or if he was in the last year of arbitration. No, I think he did sign a deal with them to – to void his arbitration deal. Yeah, he might have been.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, the beauty of the Major League Baseball is it's nothing like the NFL, where if you're Tom Brady and you want to bring in, you know, such and such superstar, you have to restructure your deal and take less money to bring this guy in. You know, none of that has to happen for Acuna. And let's just say in 6 years, he's just, you know, a monster. I mean, he could start, have his agent start the negotiations then.
Yeah.
And, you know, say, hey, well, you know, let's talk about an extension or my client's gone.
You know, yeah, and I, you know, I know they have a, you know, it does have 2 club options. So it could be, the deal could actually be for 10 years. You know, even if it does go for 10 years, he hits the free agent market when he's 31. Is he over the hill? He's done. He can't get another deal. You know, I mean, yeah, just the stupidity that comes out of these guys' mouths, you know, when they start talking about these guys, well, you know, he gave up this or he gave up that. He's going to put $100 million in his bank. Okay. He, you know, it's not going to hurt him. He shouldn't need any money the rest of his entire life. You know, no issues at all, but yet you're going to cry because he gave up a couple free agent years. Really?
Well, not only that, I mean, I believe that these guys don't even look into the CBA agreement or any of that stuff, because you would know that he, aside from the taxes, you know, I'm sure in Georgia it's probably a better deal than we have here in the great state of Illinois, which I always hear is what makes it hard to bring NBAers here. On top of Gar and Pax, but that's all another topic. In the CBA, if you're not at home on the road 82 games a year, right? Is it 81? Whatever the number is. 162, so yeah, 81. Everything is taken care of. So your food, your obviously not your nightlife. So if you're out there going to the club, you know, buying tables and bottles, that's kind of on you. But, I mean, all your food, everything's taken care of. Your housing, your hotel accommodation. So, I mean, it's not like these guys are having to go out and shell out, you know, whatever. And not only that, they're guaranteed a certain type of room. I forget what it is. You know, it's not a room like you and I would be renting. Or do we call it renting? Whatever you call it. So I mean, they're put up in really great accommodation. So, you know, none of that, I think that's one of the things they forget to factor in, is that all that's kind of taken care of. I mean, you're just stuck paying for your mortgage or your rent, and how high that is determined by who you marry. Sorry.
Well,
that was a low blow.
If you remember, in Jason Hayward's contract with the Cubs, it's written in there that he gets suites when they stay at a hotel. He has to be a suite. So, you know, just depends how you write that stuff out or you work that stuff out. I mean, obviously his agent is going to get a cut and, but I mean, he'll still be fine. And, you know, again, if he's the player, you know, that he seems to be down the line when he hits free agency, be it 29 or 30 or 31, you know, he's still probably going to be able to get 5 or 6 more years at, who knows, maybe he'll get 25 million men a year. So, you know, who knows where salaries will be by then. So, and I got one more to add to your list here, Dan. This one just came out. The Blue Jays are, as the article says here, are in agreement with Randall Grichuk on a 5-year contract worth a guaranteed $52 million.
Not bad for a guy the Cardinals gave up on.
Yeah, another guy who's, you know, looking like he's, you know, going to cash in instead of deal with free agency. And, you know, I told you, I heard one of the fantasy guys talking this year that they think Richter could be a 35 or 40 homer guy. So, you know, obviously the Cardinals the Blue Jays are invested in him now. So, yeah, I wanted to see who the Cardinals got for him. Just a couple of relievers. So.
And, I mean, if the AL East keeps pitching the way they are, he's going to put up those home runs. And they're just tossing up batting practice.
Yeah. You know, and, of course, you know, one of the most famous things about Grichuk, Dan, he was the guy drafted right before Mike Trout.
Yeah. Good for him.
So.
He should get a cut of some Mike Trout money. Yeah. you brought up the Blue Jays, and I just wanted to touch on it a little bit. You were talking, I don't know if it was prior or, you know, on air, about your one-year lineup that you threw in with Pilar, and you're like, they scratched him for the lineup, and we found out this morning. Do you find that one kind of interesting? Are you still trying to figure out what the hell San Francisco's doing at the same time?
Yeah.
Not sure what's going on.
I have no clue what they're doing. I've given up. But, yeah, here's the official deal. Kevin Pillar went to the Giants for right-handed pitcher Derek Law, infielder Alan Hansen, and right-hander Juan DiPaola. So, and, you know, I mean, I understand, you know, Pillar's a nice fit. You know, the Giants have been playing Steven Duggar in center field. So, you know, Pillar's a nice veteran to go in there and kind of help the kid learn how to play center field. But, yeah, just another one of the baffling things with the Giants on, like, okay, what are we doing here? You know, are we rebuilding? Are we bringing in veteran guys? Are we, you know, but obviously moving him probably helped the Blue Jays sign Grichuk, too.
Yeah. You brought up an interesting thing. So, in one of my fantasy teams, I had to bring in Dugar because I just was trying to fill a roster because for some reason all these pretty solid players were all thrown on the 10-day DL or IL. I do have to throw a little side note in there as I'm speaking about the IL. They have Shohei Ohtani, the pitcher, only on the 10-day. So I thought that was interesting.
Oh.
Regardless, Dugar is on one of my teams. What is your thought on that, then, with the Giants bringing in Pilar? Is he worth having anymore? I mean, he's only played four games.
He'll become a platoon guy. So it depends. Mm. You know, using him as a starter, I would probably say no. He's no longer valuable as a starter. But if he's just one of your bench guys, I mean, you can get him in, you know, on the days that, you know, he's going to play.
When everyone's off on a Thursday.
you always get those weird days where, you know, a guy gets rest, you know, this guy's rested or that guy's rested or two guys are, you know, getting a day off or a team is off and another guy's getting a day off. But, yeah, if you've got to use him as a, as a regular everyday guy in your lineup, you might have to look another way, or you know, if Pilar is available, you know, you might want to grab him, and obviously you'd get one guy or the other start.
Yeah, you'll be happy to know, though. In one of them, I was able to grab Melky.
Well, good. I'm glad. You know, it should just be a rule that he automatically pops up on your team. So.
Yeah. Well, it's actually your team, but another topic.
It's your team. Oh.
Well, I invited you to co-manage, so come on. I need some help. I got a lot of good guys.
Yeah,
surprisingly, that was one of the things that I found pretty interesting, though, Big Jack, was going through the wire. And, you know, obviously it's very early, so whoever drafted their team and was there, and because I think we have at least a couple that are probably going to be dead already, there was still a pretty significant amount of more so veteran players available on the waiver. You know, and even with a 20-team league, so I thought that was kind of interesting. In both leagues, so I was able to fill two teams that had some issues with, you know, starting players. Was that something common that has happened over the last couple of years? Have you noticed?
No, you know, I mean, you do get the occasional where, you know, like obviously in a keeper league, that would be something that happens all the time. But yeah, mm-hmm. in a league like yours where, you know, they obviously, you know, you don't hang on to anybody, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a surprise that people went that way. So.
Yeah, I was surprised at the availability. One of the other things I was more surprised at was the fact that Baltimore pitching has been pretty well and nobody's touched them. Except for the one young guy who's going to be the opener. Which, you know, I was thinking about it because the opener's starting this tomorrow. And I was going to grab him, but then I realized that there's actually absolutely no fantasy value to an opener. Even if he goes two innings. Yeah, he may, you know.
Right.
Unless he gives you six strikes out six guys, you know, you get that little punch, but other than that, I was thinking about it because I was like, oh, an opener, that's kind of cool because he's considered a starter. But then I realized, you know, two innings, that really doesn't – it's not like goalies in the NHL where, you know, we get the point for the start. Or baseball, it goes by the innings. So I was like, maybe in a league where you just got a point, you know, a check mark for every starter that started – that would hold some value, but I'm like, wow. You know, it doesn't switch up the game a whole lot, but, I mean, it really makes you look at the guy and go, man, there's absolutely no reason I would waste my time picking him up.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those things. I don't know if fantasy baseball will ever really catch up with the opener.
Well, I think it's a fad, though. I don't think it's going to be something that they have to catch up with because I don't think it's going to be something that will really last.
No, you still don't think it's gonna hang around?
I think it'll hang around in the essence that, you know, every once in a while you're going to have to do it. But as far as being valuable to the game as a whole, I think it's just going to be one of those sideshow things.
Well, I'm going to do a little bit of a